Hey, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's 11/22/63 After Show, Episode 7, Soldier Boy. We're going to be breaking down all about Hobo Man, what's his deal, as well as giving our thoughts and predictions as we gear up for the season finale next week. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Soldier Boy.
The Soldier Boy.
I was voting for the other Soldier Boy song.
That's right.
Yeah, the other one, it's a little remake.
Yeah. Is it a remake?
Not really. No. It's J-A-8 Soldier. There you go. A little bit different.
Welcome, everybody, to AfterBuzz TV's 11/22/63 After Show. We're breaking down Episode 7, Soldier Boy. Of course, we've got the whole panel here lined up as we're going to break it all down, give our thoughts and predictions. As I said, we're gearing up for the season finale next week.
Yes.
It's already almost over.
There you go. I'm your host, Frank Brand. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Right to the left of me here, we've got the dream boat of this panel, Michael Klaus.
Michael Klaus, you can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at MichaelKlausTV.
I thought I was the dream boat.
No, you're the resident sex pot.
Oh!
Isn't that
right? Wow!
That's terrible.
So what are you? I thought that was you.
No, I'm the boat anchor. I drag this whole show down. That's me.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel.
I like that jacket, by the way.
Thanks.
That's nice.
It's pretty slick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a quick Instagram update for you Michael Klaus fans. We said at 4:03, you were going to get a very personalized Instagram from Michael Klaus himself. He did text me earlier this week saying, I got number 403. They're not getting a special pick.
403 was a scam, and it was a
it was
scantily
wonderful.
Clad woman. I couldn't even say scantily clad.
No.
There was no scantily. There was nothing.
It was a ladybot account.
It was, yeah, it was a hack.
She was generous. I think she was giving you a generous
not
offer.
Mary could be a real person, but, yeah.
Frank, was that just you? Did you just make the account? <That's right. laughs>
Frank, if you want a shout out, all you got to do is say something.
I didn't think you'd do it if it was just me. So I figured, I got to do something else.
Retweet the boat anchor any day.
And we did have a lot of really good interaction on Twitter and on the YouTube comments for our show. So thank you so much,
absolutely.
Guys, for
thank
interacting. It's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of thoughts and speculations about what's going to happen to Jake. What's his deal? What about Sadie? What's going to happen to her? So it was really cool hearing a bunch of your fans' comments throughout the week as we were gearing up for this episode.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. We're talking about Episode 7, Soldier Boy. And we start off with Jake, who thinks he's in the present. We kind of see Anderson Cooper on the TV. He's kind of seeing his ex-wife. He's seeing Al talk to him about how much of a disappointment it is. I mean, of course, we kind of figured that's not for real.
No.
Yeah, for a second, were you guys even fooled, like, no, oh, this is not happening present day?
No, and you think they keep bringing in the ex-wife.
Yeah.
Which is something that you think of, and obviously, I'm sure we're going to find something out next week. But there has to be a reason that they're bringing her in. There has to be she's showed up like two or three times now, I think, since that first episode. So there has to be a reason why they keep interjecting her.
Yeah, so we definitely don't forget that she's still around. Because they just got divorced. They just signed the papers and he was tore up about it.
Well, it's not just. It's in about 40 years.
But 3 years ago for him, I guess. Right?
That was a time joke.
I get it. This is the time. They're not even alive yet.
But it's interesting why they decided to try to kind of play that card, even though I don't think any really bit in the audience is expected to buy that oh, maybe this is all in his imagination. He just imagined all of this. And he's really in present day, and he was just dreaming about that.
Can I also say that I hate how Al tries to make him feel guilty for being, like, selfish and saying, oh, how you do this, how you do this, when this whole thing to go back in time is Al's idea.
Yes.
This is all Al's dream. Jake never wanted this. And so Al calling him selfish...
Well, that's just Jake's guilt. Actually Al.
Well, Al was a little forceful in episode one.
He was. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he really did hammer on Jake about, I thought you were better than this. You're letting yourself be held back by your past and stuff. So he really kind of laid into Jake, for sure.
Yeah.
So I can see why he's letting that kind of, drum up in his head as he's kind of getting this moment and having Al say, basically, you're such a failure. I expected better out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of jump cuts. Not jump cuts necessarily, but like date jumps. What do you think about that?
It was interesting that we drew out so long in between each of these episodes. And then, man, this last one was just, it was, I don't know, I guess I kind of, it was just kept on propelling, like boom, 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 boom. It's just getting you inevitably closer to that date.
I hated it.
Mary Lou, you did not like it.
I did not.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because we could have made it a 10-episode thing and spread it out. Didn't have to be 8 episodes if you needed to rush, or they could have started it earlier because there were tons of dead time in previous episodes. Seriously, okay, Oswald's eating a sandwich 3 days later.
Jake takes some pills. And good night. And next day.
Yes.
I was like, are we serious with this?
I mean, I guess because if you had made it 10 episodes and you're drinking that, then we'd probably have longer scenes of Jake taking those pills. Maybe you take the pills, drink a water, and then maybe start making a sandwich. I'm like, oh, no, we don't need to see that either.
Yeah.
Please, let's cut that. So, and you, go ahead.
Oh, and they kind of made it seem like, oh, I see what they were doing and trying to make you think that, oh, will he remember? Or will he, you know, how close will they get? But you knew that he was going to remember. You knew he was going to wake up and remember. They're not going to come all this way, and then he kills him.
He's like, there's something I was supposed to do. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. The tension didn't quite build up, I think, the way that they were anticipating. Yeah. And then also him coming out of this, and Sadie's the one telling him, like, you know, you're here for a thing. Like, you traveled here from the future. Like, I would like to have seen a scene of him being like, girl, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, it was interesting because he does wake up in 63 and he's got Sadie there trying to prompt his memory, as well as Deku saying, well, he's fine medically, but I mean, who knows what kind of memory loss he's going to suffer from this beating that he took. And we see the scenes of him with Sadie in the park outside the hospital, her trying to encourage his memory. And you see, like, he's got gaps for sure. He remembers, like, at least he time traveled from the future, but he doesn't know exactly, like, who he thinks killed Kennedy, where he lived while he was in Dallas. He can't remember any of those specific details.
Mm-hmm. I love the JFK, LBJ. All the three
That's
letters.
That's a lot of letters.
When he first said that line, I was like, oh my gosh, he's really in bad shape. But then he's like, oh, but I time traveled from the future. Like, okay, so.
But that stuck?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like it's off in your head?
What would you have done if he would have went into We Didn't Start the Fire?
That would have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I would have loved that. It would have been a very different episode.
Yeah.
Mary Lou would have enjoyed this episode a lot more.
Yes, I would have. There's only, like, one redeeming thing for me, and that was the scene with Bill.
Oh
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So as we get to that, first, we do see Oswald go to the FBI real quick, because he wants to go to Agent Holte. Get up in his grill for basically harassing his wife when he's not there, harassing him at his workplace, bugging him, which we know wasn't him. It was Jake and Bill doing that. But he kind of gets looped into that whole thing. So I like how they just kind of brush him off, and then he just writes a letter. They're like, I want to document this. I want you guys to record this. Record that I was here.
An official transcript or something like that.
And what is his accent? I don't know. I was, like, nitpicking a lot this episode because I wasn't having a good time. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah, because it feels like there's some Russian in there.
I don't know if it's an accent or necessarily, like, a speech impediment. Or, like, a draw type thing.
Yeah, because I'm interested to know if there even existed any interviews with him that they could get, you know, what his real voice was. Or if this was just a choice.
Yeah. I mean, because I guess it'd be maybe a mix of Russian and Southern, because I mean, I guess he's from the South. So I would think maybe a mixture of that, but I don't know. Because I don't know if there is any actual audio that exists of him. Because I don't think any of the interrogation that would happen in the police department, I don't think they recorded any of that, did they?
Yeah. There's some, like, essay somewhere they're like, he talked funny.
Yeah. So that's what you got to do.
He was creepy, prideful, and he talked funny.
I'm wondering, though, if what he wrote down will come up next episode. I would think that the message there, because it seemed like he actually wrote something specific out. So I would imagine it would be a something that they would look at afterwards.
And realize, like, we should have actually, you know, addressed this sooner. If we would have just held on to or detained him, nothing of this would happen. Yeah.
Because that would almost make be more of a, man, stumbling with my words tonight. That would almost be more of like a reason for Lee Harvey Oswald to be like, see? told you so, or something like that. Something for another jab for him to say of like, you could have prevented this. I even gave you an opportunity and you didn't.
Mm-hmm. That's how inept you guys are. You government officials, you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Look at you. Mm-hmm. So then we still see Jake kind of struggling to remember as he's getting checked out. And he says, remembers like Deke's name, originally calling him Frank, but then Deke, and then says, oh, you're married to Miss Mimi. We find out Miss Mimi's passed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we kind of speculated, by the time we kind of jumped ahead, that she would probably be passed away. And that happened, it seemed like, because it was only just maybe like a matter of a week or two since the last episode.
Yeah, but, so they, last episode started, wow, way up here. No, that's episode 5. Episode 6, fast forward to 10/16. So, yeah, it would only be a little bit.
Yeah, maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks. So, yeah, so Miss Mimi was not kidding when she said she didn't really have much time.
Yeah.
But you can still see it's still still a sensitive subject for Deke. Still gets choked up. Look at that. It's true love with those two.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he said that, and you were married. And he doesn't with that.
No, he does not. So, interesting to see. I mean, I guess perhaps they were married. And but they just never could, maybe they just couldn't announce that publicly, of course. Mm-hmm. Especially in Texas, I guess, in the South in the 60s. Maybe not the best thing to be coming out with an interracial marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But then we see as he's signing release forms, all of a sudden he's wondering what happened to Bill. Doesn't know exactly for sure. Mm-hmm. But then as he signs release forms, all of a sudden he has flashes of what he did. It's like, oh, wait, I know where he is. And man, this is when it's like, poor Bill. Man, you're not a big Bill fan, Michael. So what do you think of what happened to Bill?
So at first I was relieved because I was really worried when they go to get him out, and it almost seemed like Bill was faking it, and that, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you know, we're not brothers, and oh, we're talking about this future stuff. So I was like, Bill's acting. He, you know, clearly is trying to just do whatever he can to get out so then he can run and flee and kind of fool them and get back with Lee Harvey Oswald. And I was cringing the entire time thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And obviously, then he kills himself. And then I was like, I was relieved. So I was relieved from the standpoint of things happening with Lee Harvey Oswald and Kennedy. But then I thought, and I was like, man, this is really the, you know, like the third person that Jake has killed. Mm-hmm. Because his life literally is nothing. And you see that at the funeral. And I loved how they did the funeral for Bill. Mm-hmm. How they showed that big funeral and made you think like it was that. And you pan over, and it's just Jake and Sadie. And it shows this was his life.
Yeah.
And even when Jake goes back, that's his life. That's all he has is he left. Nobody in Kentucky is going to know what happened to him. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
From an actual life perspective, from a Lee Harvey Oswald Kennedy perspective, 2 thumbs up. From a life perspective.
Yeah, he destroyed that poor boy's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It completely just robbed him of his life
and then
put him in a loony bin to extra ruin his life.
No, it certainly wasn't Jake's intention for this to happen to Bill, but once he got put in the coma, he wasn't able there to extricate, talk to the doctors, and they transferred him over to this other facility, which then just gave him electroshock therapy. Mm-hmm. I can imagine maybe 3 weeks of that. That's going to make you just like, I don't want to believe this. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're not a figment of my imagination. So when Jake says, hey, no, this is all true. Yeah, I can see why Billy's like, no, don't want to talk about this, don't want to get dragged down this hole again. Got to be nice, got to be on my best behavior.
I can imagine the medical treatment in the 60s.
Yeah, awful. And then even if he did realize that, like if it was a show, like if Bill knew this was real, but this was the repercussions of telling his truth, dying was probably better than getting more electroshock.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? I mean, to see all the other people at that facility and just, you know, what kind of tortured souls they were, I can imagine. It's just not to be sitting there for who knows how long just enduring electroshock therapy. Oof.
Yeah. But when they have the scene and, like, when they cut to Bill and, like, the curtains are flowing behind him, I was like, oh, fool's going to jump out the window.
Yeah. So Bill does jump out the window. He does kill himself. He smashes on top of another car and then falls onto the pavement. And my thought was like, that poor person who comes out of work after that day and they look at their car and there's a big, huge dent and blood stain on it. They're like, what happened to my car?
Not again.
Not again.
Reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where the guy jumps and he lands on,
George's car.
Yes. And George is like fighting with the hospital and saying, but he jumped out of the hospital. And they're like, well, you know, you parked there, so it's your fault. You have to cover it.
It's the pig man.
It's the pig man.
Yeah, and then we get that great scene that Michael was talking about, where you just see that funeral for Jake, and then we go into the special kind of little jumps ahead in time, where the next shot is just one day Jake taking a pill and drinking some water, and that was it. Just like I was like, huh. Okay.
That's all we're covering today?
Yeah, that was it.
And then, think it was like the Matrix, like the red pill or the blue pill? Like if he took that pill, it might go back in time and none of this had happened?
Exactly.
That would have been more interesting than he just had a headache.
Yes, or, I didn't need to see, like, the little mini segment where Jake had to battle a drug addiction, perhaps. Like, I got to get over this. I can't depend on these pills anymore. I got to be stronger than that.
It has been 6 days.
Yeah, that's it.
You're and not addicted
is,
yet.
Yeah, and this is the start where it shows every single day. From the 14th is when they show every single day.
Yeah.
So maybe that was their point, is they didn't want to skip a day, because they skipped the 13th. And then they show from the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd.
Yeah.
They show every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next day after Jake taking pills is Deke sitting at the table with Sadie and saying he's lost and scared. And then the next one is Lee Harvey with his mom.
Yeah. Lee Harvey with his mom. And his mom saying, like, hey, I'll look at that. I want to make sure you have a purpose. That's what I saw in your second grade report card.
You have potential.
You have potential, yes. And so I want that little boy again, you know, that had dirt under his fingernails and had a lot of potential, that smile on his face. Where's that boy? I want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like, you know, poor Lee is not meant for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just simply he's just been dealt a bad
hand. And you can imagine, I mean, it's been over a year since he returned from the war. And you have to look at the people around him and what are they looking at his life and saying, he's, you know, mid-20s, came back from the war a year ago, still doesn't have a purpose. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people even nowadays face coming back from fighting or just serving. And you have to find that purpose in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can get distracted. And that's clearly what has happened.
Now, and it's interesting because the next day, we see him on the 18th, we see him in the park eating a Baby Ruth.
I thought it was a sandwich. It was Baby Ruth. It's much more interesting than I thought.
And then he just happens to, this scene was kind of interesting because then all of a sudden he looks down and he sees this newspaper that says, like, Kennedy's coming to town tomorrow on the show, kind of his little travel route that he's going to be doing. And then there's just this scene where he just kind of drifts off and he's just looking at the park just absentmindedly. Just
pause.
And everything kind of goes into slow motion slowly and you're just like, what is going on? What's going through his head? And then he just snaps right out of it. And then just walked off whistling a Soldier Boy.
So he's like, I got the idea.
Yeah, do you think like that was it at that moment that, I mean, because we've always been wondering, like, was George actually kind of pushing him? Was he a CIA operative or some kind of a plan or a trigger for that? But no, it just seemed like, was he just eating a Baby Ruth, looked down at the newspaper, saw that and says, yep, I think I should.
Right after the talk with his mom where she says, you don't have a purpose in your life. A purpose can be kind of interpreted two ways. It can be a purpose of like you're going to, you know, make an impact or you're going to leave a mark.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
And so having an impact, he could be taking it as, you know what? I'm going to leave a mark. I'm going to do something that is going to make me remembered. Infamous.
Yeah.
And so that's his interpretation of it because he looks at the other way of actually making an impact and could be too tough, doesn't want to do it.
No, I guess that's true. You can make you could pull a trigger on somebody and make an impact just like that rather than spending years and years on something and not knowing for sure if you're going to have any sort of beneficial impact to anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he kind of wanders off there. It's like, wow, all right, this is a little creepy there. And then we come back and we see Jake seeing Sadie and Deke dancing away. And all of a sudden, Jake is a little flash, like, oh, wait a second. Which I like this is that one day. It's like dance is like Madison. I live on Madison Street. And then it just cuts to the next day.
The assassination's going to be in Madison, Wisconsin. We better go.
It's like, that was a long time you just waited to go to Madison Street. It's not that far away, guys. But you waited a whole day to go over there and check it out. And they go up and down the block, we're knocking every single door until we find out where he lived. And then that lady they talked to, or in his old place, like, was like, the bill collectors, you know, you can't be following people around. That lady was a charmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quick, she slammed the door real fast.
I feel like, say, can we come in? If I let you in, then you might decide you want this place back. Like, I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how it is, unless they're squatters.
Which my first thought was, and they kind of touched on this with when they go up to Lee Harvey's place, is what happened to all his equipment and all his stuff?
Yeah.
And wouldn't you listen to that? And wouldn't you be a little tripped like, out to an extent and then point out to Lee Harvey, hey, by the way, this person downstairs who just randomly left has a whole bunch of recordings of you.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, that seems so weird. And I wonder, once Jake left, and maybe there was a couple days where Billy was just living there by himself, did he just throw out everything because he wasn't going to be doing that anymore? Maybe that's could explain, like, why there wasn't that much
no,
stuff.
No, Bill wasn't living there by himself.
No, because he had already been admitted, yeah.
Oh, no, but yeah, but there's like, wasn't there like a day or two before when Jake and Bill got in that fight and then he said, like, you come back, I'll kill you.
No,
yeah.
I think that he still would have been listening because he wanted to know what Marina was up to.
No, that's true.
Ooh.
Oh, would he have needed to put a new bug in, though, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he would have gotten rid of it to throw the scent.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, but it is an interesting point that because if the landlord came in and saw this recording stuff, you're right. Why wouldn't he say anything? But it's interesting. They go upstairs and they run into Lee Harvey Oswald, who think that, you know, the man he's trying to get is the one that's going to help him kind of put his memory back into place, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. And they have a really pleasant conversation. Like, mm-hmm. Lee Harvey Oswald's like, I thought you guys left for greener pastures. All right.
Mm-hmm. And it's conversations like that that show you even the most, I don't want to say evil of people, but, you know, deceiving, conniving, little dirty people. They have a positive side.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody's a monster 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And you see him with his kid, and you see him even in the conversations that he has with his wife of trying to, kind of bring her back. And, oh, Marina, you know, I love you, and I want to be here for the kids. And so he's not a monster. And I think that is another purpose of this show. What it's doing is showing us a different side of Lee Harvey mm-hmm. that we think of him, oh, it's just monster who just wanted to kill Kennedy.
Yeah, and I just feel like there's just, sadly, no chance for him and Marina. Because I just feel like there's been so much kind of destructiveness in the relationship that I just don't know if either of them are able to break the cycle. Even as much as they say they want to change, it just mm-hmm. seems like they're always, no matter how many times they say that, it end up just right back where they started mm-hmm. again. You know, just with somebody's going to get pushed or shoved, no matter what. You know, no matter, this is the last time. I feel like it's going to keep happening if they had come back together and stayed. Yeah, so, but then while all of a sudden as they're talking to Oswald, who's like, oh, yeah, I can give you the landlord's number. And Jake looks down and sees a paper, and all of a sudden everything starts clicking back into place. This is my guy. This is the guy that killed Kennedy. What am I going to do? And he goes and gets a little drink of water in the kitchen, starts running water, and then pulls out a knife and says, like, all right. I was like, all right, is he just going to go walk right in and just stab out Lee Harvey Oswald?
That was a big knife, too.
Yes.
It was like an 8-inch blade or 9-inch blade. Woo!
Well, one, I was Mr. Suspicious, was like, sure, go into my kitchen by yourself and get your water. Like that, I was like, I don't know if he would do that. If Lee Harvey would be like, okay. Because they only met once at the party.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And it is interesting that it was only maybe like a day or two after that whole party incident that Jake committed Billy. So you think mm-hmm. like when these two guys disappeared so quickly after like all this stuff discovered at your party, you see a bug, maybe you might put two in together. I don't know.
It's true.
He doesn't make that connection. And also I like that he had, the way he talked about Bill wasn't like, oh, I know he's messing around with my wife. I know he's got a thing for my wife. No, he's like, oh, he's a funny guy. That was it. I was like, all right, you know, this guy was really after your wife big time. And maybe that's your, It might be his baby, guys.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Bill, the legacy of Bill lives on.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be Bill Jr. He's going to come back to haunt you, Michael.
His life
Klaus.
Is not a total waste.
But then he goes out to kill Oswald, and Oswald comes out holding his little daughter. Now, I mean, knowing what you know, and like this guy, you knew for sure that he was going to kill Kennedy. Would you attempt to take him out, even with his daughter there in the room? I mean, just a little baby. She's not going to have any cognizant memory of that incident.
No, I feel like he wouldn't, especially with Sadie there. Yeah.
Thank you, James.
The hard decisions we have to make here.
Mary Lou?
Yeah, I think no, only because Sadie was there. I think he was more worried about Sadie seeing it. Even though he made the decision to grab the knife. But it's that Sadie's now going to judge him for killing the guy while the baby was in the room.
Mm.
But you see in this whole episode, Sadie is really pushing everything.
Yeah, and she helps out a lot.
Raise your hand if you grew some respect for Sadie this episode. Yeah, here.
Look at that. I always had respect for Sadie, Michael. So thanks for jumping on the bandwagon there.
I am jumping on the Sadie train.
Listen,
Sadie,
you get your face cut once, and then you can take on the world.
That's right. No, I just throughout. I mean, you see it obviously in her, you know, not giving up on Jake and letting him just kind of sit around. You see it here of her literally dragging him to every house
mm-hmm.
and let's keep going. And you see it later in the episode, man, she, and you know, we'll get there of the part where he asks her to stay. And she was like, no, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's tenacious. And
innocent little Sadie has really grown up.
Yeah. Cause they get back to their place and he says, oh, you know, I'm really tired. Can I just go lay down while you're fixing up supper? And then he grabs his gun and he ducks out. And when he gets to his car, there's Sadie already waiting there for him. She knew what was up.
She knows.
Yeah. Because he's shifty. Like, he's probably slow right now, too. So. Yeah, exactly. She probably saw him walking out the house, and she's like...
okay.
Yeah, I to go back to the end of last episode, I think, where he was going in and out between Sadie and his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. I was surprised Sadie never... Like, there was no scene where Sadie asked, like, what is this name you were calling me? Because I felt like he was saying that out loud.
Yeah.
Mm. So I feel like they would have at some point, like, maybe she would have asked, like, is this somebody in the future? Like, I feel like she's curious enough that she might be like, you kept saying this name. What's going on? I wanted to know what his explanation was.
Yeah, but I guess I wouldn't, because I mean, certainly she's divorced as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think even if so, that was my ex-wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
Although it would still seem like, why are you saying your ex-wife's name, though? Aren't you over her? No?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that, or, you know, just to know, because she doesn't know anything about his other life.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's obviously an important name.
I wonder if they've had that conversation. Well, yeah, because certainly she didn't know it at that time. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but I wonder if they've ever had a conversation where he's like, oh, yeah. This is my ex-wife from the future. After that point, maybe. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Maybe.
Because certainly there was certainly a lot of... We only saw Jake drinking that bottle of water while he's eating that, taking those pills that one day. There's a lot of other time.
Yeah.
There's like 23 hours and like, you know, 58 minutes that we... Mm-hmm. You know, that, yeah, they barely could have had that conversation.
Yeah. But I was excited to see her in the car where I was like, girl, yes. All right. Yes. Let's do this.
Yeah. I did like her. If another guy tells me he's doing what's best for me, I'm going to punch him in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, Sadie, yeah, way to go.
Stepping up to the plate. Yeah. I think she just really wants to see what's in the future.
Yeah. The way she keeps asking.
It'd be intriguing. You tell me if someone said to you right now, either of you, hey, mm-hmm. guess what? You can go 30 years in the future.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Done.
No hesitation whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Yep. Goodbye, friends and loved ones.
See ya.
There you go.
I'll check you out then if you're still around.
Yeah.
If the world hasn't ended.
But instead of they'd say, all right, I know I got to kill Oswald. He's the guy. And she's like, oh, what do I, the one but with his daughter and everything. She says, no, I know that we need to do this. But they compromise and said, oh, if we go get the gun mm-hmm. and we take away the gun at Ruth's place, then he can't kill him because he won't have his weapon. So they decided to go to Ruth's place to try to do that. Seems like a sensible plan. You compromise instead mm-hmm. of killing him. You just take away his weapon to do that. And that mm-hmm. seems like that might be a good way to kind of circumvent history.
Yeah.
Not a bad plan.
Well, and then having Sadie on that adventure actually really helped them because she's got this innocent face and she was able to sweet talk the lady
yes.
into their basement.
To just start randomly looking around for a package.
Mm.
What is it like? It's about this long.
Yes.
Curtain rods.
And then he says curtain rods all the way out.
It's like very angrily.
Curtain rods.
Yeah.
James Franco School of Acting.
Yeah. But so they have no luck finding the package right there. So what they do is they just drive directly to the book depository. So we're going to camp out right here. And as soon as he walks in the morning, work the next morning, we'll tackle him. See, we heard that he was going to kill mm-hmm. Kennedy and then get him arrested. But then the cops are right there and saying, nope, you got to move it along. Mm-hmm. We don't care. We don't care how excited you are about Kennedy or you are a cousin of Jackie's.
Yeah, let me guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so they drive. It seemed like they kind of, from given like how far away did you think they drive from Daly Plaza? I didn't seem that far.
It didn't seem that far. Obviously, with the next day where they have to drive all the way back, it's clearly not a couple blocks.
No. I was like, man, guys, how far away did you drive on this? All right, so much for being like really close to the action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then they said, hey, this is going to be a tough day because time is going to do everything they can to try to stop it. It's going to throw mm-hmm. all the monkeys in the wrenches, whatever they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And but I do like they have a moment there when Sadie says if he misses anything from the future. And he misses sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
Quality sneakers. Not like these 60s sneakers. They're terrible.
Yeah.
What would you miss?
What would I miss? I don't know. Probably the internet. I like being able to research anything at any moment.
Yeah.
Because I was the nerd when I was growing up at the library all the time. Just I'm like, where do I get this information? But now the fact that it's in my pocket all the time,
yeah,
I don't think I could let go of that.
No, that I would agree. The immediate access to knowledge and information mm-hmm. or be able to just, you know, get anything you want done accomplished just in your mm-hmm. hand. It would be hard to go back to those old ways of taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like going to the library, researching information, you know, just manually calling people up all the time. You can't just do everything online right there and mm-hmm. book your tickets to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I would miss women's reproductive health rights.
Ah. All right.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, you beat me to it.
The flip side of that, what would you want back from that time to be more like in this time?
Mm. Ooh,
I'd say flying. I wish flying was as easy as it was back
then.
Oh,
yeah. That's a good call, James. Right? Yes.
And classy.
Yes. But then you also have like the smoking and non-smoking sections. Mm-hmm. So that'd be, if you could bring back the class without the smoking section,
okay.
I'm all down for that.
That's true. Meals. I have a friend who's flying to Italy tomorrow, and he gets two meals. And you're like, whew.
Living it up.
When's the last time I got a meal on an airplane?
Yeah. Just to be thankful not to have to take off your shoes and belt as you go through security. Yeah. Oh, that would be fantastic.
Nice watch, shoe bomber.
Nice job. Ruined it for everybody.
Jerk.
Yeah. No, but not having some of the technology is also good. I mean, there's so many times when you're like, man, I wish I didn't have to respond to these messages. Oh, I wish I wasn't getting all these.
I wish I could just like unplug my phone and then nobody could get a hold of me. Or if they wanted to get a hold of me, they had to wait like, you know, 2 or 3 days till it got to me in the mail.
Yeah. It's like the pressure. I've had like 3 people text me while the show is going on, and it's like, I feel like I need to reply.
Well, look at it bragging. No, we get it. Michael's got friends.
So popular.
Hey, it was follower 403. Mary wants a reply.
She's scheduled
a hangout for tomorrow night.
Oh, look at that. And while they're talking there, all of a sudden, Sadie kind of passes out.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
Everything goes on the fritz, and then boom, Hobo Man.
Woo!
We get to find out.
Who is not a bad guy.
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
But we still don't quite know his deal.
Another so text. Popular.
Don't worry about it. Hey, Sean, I'll message you later.
Mary, leave him alone right now. He's busy.
He'll be done at 8, Mary. He'll be done at 8. Come on. But yeah, we find out a tragic backstory for Hobo Man, that his daughter drowned, and that he seems like he has his own personal rabbit hole that he can go back to.
Yeah, I was wondering where he was from, if he was from the present as well, and has just continually used the same rabbit hole, or what the deal was. Because obviously, yeah, he's gone back numerous times, and that's what he's saying, is that it gets addicting. You keep telling yourself, oh, there's a different way I can do this. There's a different way I can do this.
Yeah, and no matter how many times he tried to do something different, he was always prevented from seeing that, and he had to watch his daughter drown again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell it's just crushing him. But he can't stop, because you know who doesn't want to try to stop to save your daughter or anybody's loved one.
I will say it's a little bit different in that I feel like Hobo Man has a little bit more of a connection. Being that it's his daughter, and I feel like Jake was not as connected to this or, you know, enthused, at least to begin with. And even now, he wasn't as passionate about it. If it's your daughter, I feel like it's something that, man, you want to do whatever you can, and that's your life. I mean, if you're a parent, your children are your life.
Yeah. No, and I agree, because I was thinking about, like, so this guy saying he keeps trying and he cannot change what happens. But Jake was able to save his student, you know, and he might even be able to do this JFK thing in this world, because it is not his personal thing. It's somebody else's personal thing.
Yeah,
very true.
You know, but I also then thought that maybe you can't do the thing that you initially came back to do. Like, he came back to save JFK.
Yeah.
So that other guy came back to save his daughter. Maybe that's the thing you can't do. You can change all sorts of other things.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know,
but it seems to kind of, it makes me throw in what Hobo Man's been doing through the series so far, because it seems like anytime he shows up, it's a warning or like potential threatening to a loved one. Mm-hmm. Like Sadie almost dying there in the hospital the previous episode. You see him kind of being like a forbearer for like, you know, something bad is going to happen. So it seems like it's more than him just, I wish there was more in that conversation to find out, like, what is your deal? Because it seems to be more than just a guy that's having to relive the tragic death of your daughter. You seem more connected to this whole time thing, because you're able to pop all around the country, be wherever I'm at, and bad things happen whenever you show up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wish we had a little bit more to know what his deal was.
You can tell, though, why he's always looked so depressed and just dejected.
Yeah.
Yeah, because how many times has he seen his daughter die?
Yeah, and you just have no reason to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish Jake would have just asked him that question, like, why can't I do this? Why? Who are you? What's your connection to all of this bigger stuff? But we never got that, and then all of a sudden, but Jake assures me, like, I can do this. I know I can do this.
Yeah, so it would have been great if he just would have been like, right, cool. Like, well, I got you here though. Like, what's your?
Do you want to help with this? I'm looking for a second person.
Because I'm like, I could use a hand.
But then he changes up, asks Sadie if she wants to go back, and she once again grows the cojones and says, no, this is what we're doing.
Jake took that moment of, I don't know if it was just weakness or just like, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe I've seen this guy.
He wanted to see how committed she was.
I don't know, because I mean, I feel like he, because he seemed like he wanted her to be as far away from this as possible, because he knows that, you know, it's going to be something bad's going to have to happen. But yeah, I mean, I could see him having that moment where, like, maybe should we just bail on this and just be happy together?
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. She says, nope, we're here to do something really important. Let's do this.
She wants to go to the future.
Yeah.
She's like, you promised me this trip.
She wants to see cell phones.
And it was so important that they immediately passed out and overslept. That's how committed they were to it.
Yeah. I love that. They're like, whoops. Because I was thinking that with the time jumps, because they were like, you know, one day till assassination, 30 minutes or whatever. And then it'd be like, 2 hours ago, assassination happened.
Yes. Like, they hear all the cops like, what?
Right? And then like, then it's like,
they turn on the car and the radio is a broadcast. President Kennedy was shot an hour and a half ago
and
in Dallas.
Starts the car and he's like, goes to Maine, starts back over. Then 3 years later, and he's all haggard.
That's right. But yeah, they wake up, they realize they overslept, and at that time, Lee Harvey Oswald just made his way to the book depository. And it seems like weird to be thinking about it now, but you know, of course, who would think back then? But you could just carry a huge, long thing that looks like you're, like a long box that you could obviously have a gun in there. Mm-hmm. And you could just walk right into your place of business, cruise all the way up to the top floor, nobody questioning you, nobody stopping you for
walk
a second.
Walk right by the police officer. That was something that I made a note of how much different is the security now. Mm-hmm. You don't have dogs sniffing around. You're not now anywhere the president goes, you have Secret Service there a week at least in advance, scouring the place, looking at different angles, looking at where places could be that could be trouble spots, sniffing places out. I mean, it's huge now.
Yeah, like they know every angle that anybody could get to you, and they've inspected it all.
Probably because of incidents like this and with Reagan and other ones.
And having announcing to the press your exact travel route and stuff like that. You know, things that they don't do now. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you exactly where the president's going to be and exactly when. So to prevent these things. But back then, it was like, Kennedy's going to be going through Daley Plaza. Everybody, come on. He's going to be here at this time. Hang out. We're going to go exactly around these blocks and go down this way. Yeah, come on. See him. Yeah, so it's but he just marches up to the top floor. Then he sets all the books up and like that, and then gets everything ready. And then Jake and Sadie realize they overslept. Car's dead. They can't get it. And I do like Sadie going like, maybe it's just a dead battery. How do you know it's time pushing back?
or Jake forgot to put gas in it.
Yeah, exactly. But we get to see Jake's hot wiring skills. Look at him go.
Yeah.
Yay, high wire that car.
I mean, learned it from Bill. Yes. Another thing. At least, Bill's legacy living
there you go.
On.
There you go.
30 minutes later.
And then we come back and we end the episode with Lee Harvey setting up the gun, loading it up, and then just sitting quietly right by that window, just waiting for JFK to make his way by.
Yeah, that slow push-in of the camera.
Yes. To end it. So that's it, guys. That is the end of the episode. How do you guys feel going into episode 8?
I knew it was going to be like that going into that last episode, and I think I predicted that last week that it was it was going to lead right up to that point. And you know, I don't know where was the last timestamp that they had? 10:30?
Yes.
I think it was.
It was 2 hours.
Oh, no, it was 11:22:63. It was 9 a.m.
Was it 9 a.m. was the last one?
Yeah, it was 2.5 hours away from the assassination.
Yeah, and so, you know, I knew it was going to be like that. And so to an extent, I knew this would be a tweener episode, an in-between episode. But I appreciate the answer to some of the big questions and that. So now in the last episode, we'll be able to focus more on the actual plot of what happens with the shooting, you know, and Jake going back. We don't have to answer the questions of, obviously, what's going to happen with Bill? Is he going to have to go back? You're not going to have to answer the questions of the yellow card guy in the hat. Is he going to, you know, what is his deal? How is he going to interfere? What's his backstory? So I feel like I appreciated it and that they answered some of the questions throughout the episode so that next week we can focus on the meat and the potatoes.
I mean, and I wonder for the two of you, we've seen Lee Harvey be a character throughout this whole series, but do you feel like you really know his motivations for what he wants to do? Do you feel like you have a better understanding of Lee Harvey's character, whether you agree or disagree with what he's going to be doing, but that you have a better idea of why he's doing what he's doing? Or do you feel like it's still, nobody really knows the reason, so we're just going to keep it kind of ambiguous and we'll kind of let the audience kind of come to their own conclusions about why he's doing what he's doing?
I think that the way they're presenting it, that he was riled up enough. Like, they saw this as somebody with anger, you know.
Yeah, or he's lost, I think, is really what this has kind of shown, is that, once again, he's came back from serving. He hasn't really found a purpose, and things are going wrong with his family, and just a variety of things, and he's kind of lost.
That's
and
exactly
he wants to find a way to make an impact, and he he's acting irrationally. I think mm-hmm. that everyone can agree on that, that you don't shoot a president rationally.
No, for oh. sure.
And so he's acting irrationally based on all these things that are happening in his life and kind of building up. And I even realized, you know, going back of when he goes into the FBI, part of that is because of Jake and Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So once again, you're going back to the past to try to prevent something from happening, and you're actually causing it maybe to an extent.
Very true. I mean, they played a little part in that for sure, because I mean, mm-hmm. he was still already kind of riled mm-hmm. up, but that really seemed to really set him on edge when yeah. they found the bug.
But so much of this, like what you said there, of he doesn't have a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And he wants to leave his mark. So when he came back from Russia and there was no press, he was mm-hmm. obviously upset about it. Like, this guy wants recognition.
Yeah.
So if what he did before wasn't yeah. big enough, they riled him up enough, they pointed him in the right direction, or he came to it himself because of all of these outside factors. Now he's like, fine, I'll make a mark. Oof. And that mark is JFK.
Oh, well, that's going to get us into some quick predictions about the season finale. Ooh, and when you hear this music. Now, you're after Buzz
TV. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone whenever this happens.
All right, so Mary Lou, what do you predict is going to happen in the season finale? Are they going to stop JFK? Are they going to make an alternate timeline? Is Sadie going to go backward into the future? What do you think?
Basic predictions. They're not going to prevent the assassination. But Sadie's gonna get killed.
Ooh.
Which will cause Jake to go back and try to start over.
He becomes just like the hobo man, you think?
Mm-hmm. Because it's gonna be about Sadie and not JFK.
Okay.
So I think if he doesn't prevent JFK being assassinated, he's like, well, all right, well, I'm like, we were fine.
So you think there's going to be another miniseries then?
No.
Because it's just gonna end?
It's just gonna be him in infinite loop. Like, he's going to become like Hobo Man.
Ooh. And no matter what he tries to do to save Sadie, she's still going to get killed somehow? Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, we had a really good... somebody, I think, on YouTube said that they felt that Hobo Man was probably, like, future Jake. Like,
yes.
And I think that they've made it clear that it's a different guy, mm-hmm. but that same... He has that same kind of fate,
yes.
potentially.
All right.
Yeah.
Michael?
I still think... I don't think they're going to prevent him either. I don't think there's a... Or are they going to prevent Lee Harvey from shooting JFK? But I see something again, and I kind of talked about this last week. I see that something is going to happen that Jake is going to get the blame and have to rush back.
Mm.
And whether he can take Sadie or not, I think I would say that Sadie probably doesn't make it back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would say that she would get killed, but I say that she probably doesn't make it back to the future.
Yeah,
the present. I keep having to catch myself. It's not the future. It's the present.
It's right
this
now.
This is just the mm-hmm. past.
Because I have a feeling he probably might get up to the book depository right where Lee Harvey is at the window. They could struggle, and when the shots go off and he does kill Kennedy, when they see both of them running down, they could easily think that Jake is part of it as well. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I could agree with you, Michael, that all of a sudden Jake is found, like, wanted by the cops as well because they think he has a kind of role in the assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also, I don't know if you guys are Quantum Leap fans, that old series from the 90s there. Mm-hmm. There was an episode where they had JFK, where he leapt into Lee Harvey Oswald. And he was trying to see if he could try to change history and prevent him from killing JFK. He wasn't able to do it, but you find out at the end, where like, all of a sudden JFK died. But you do find out at the end that Al tells him in the original history that Jackie died as well. And so by him going back, he prevented Jackie from dying. But he was so he saved Jackie. That was his true mission, to save Jackie.
Oh.
So it was kind of like we still ended up followed history's the regular course of historical events. But mm-hmm. you were able to add that little nugget where we may have felt like, oh, all right, I guess he did have some sort of impact.
Yeah.
So you kind of had your cake and ate it too with that. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder mm-hmm. if they'll do something like that in this episode, where he may not be able to save JFK, but he did have some sort of positive impact yeah. somehow.
And now this is another thing that I don't think they'll bring back around, but I wonder is when there's like a car that ran into a telephone booth and that person was like, you don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that another like wormhole time traveler?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, because the only two characters that have said to him, right, you don't belong here.
Yeah, that's true. I've been people mm-hmm. that have gone through a rabbit hole, time mm-hmm. traveled. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I just want a more definitive answer. Like, what is
what's
that
your deal?
Yes, what's your deal, Hobo Man? What's your deal? Mm. All right,
quick shout out to Claire Manship. She yes. was the person who mm-hmm. was very active for us on Twitter.
Yes, thank you, Claire.
Yes, great. We appreciate it. You were talking kind of some theories and stuff. So anyone else, reach out to us.
That's right. We've got 7 days to be able to talk about some cool theories about what we think is going to happen in the season finale of 11-22-63. And that's going to do it for us here on AfterBuzz TV's 11-22-63 After Show. But to continue this conversation on Twitter, Mary Lou, where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel, MarieLouMandl.
You can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at MichaelKlausTV. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
There you go. Instagram follower number 404. Maybe you'll get that lucky personalized picture from Michael Klaus. 404. Let's do it.
Mary, I'll be home in a second. Stop bothering me.
You can follow me on Twitter at AbbyGoJackie and check me out every Tuesday night with my improv team, Max, at iOS there at 10 o'clock. We'll see you next time for the season finale, 11-22-63.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.